Okay, we are looking at the Apostle Paul, who was branded for Jesus. Now, as I explained last month, the reason when we think of branding, we think of like cowboys used to brand their cattle. And that is the intention. The Apostle Paul was marked for Jesus. Okay? When an animal is branded, it's to mark it as to who its owner is. And the Apostle Paul was marked, and through that marking, it became obvious who his owner was. Now, we identified, and I'm just going to quickly repeat them. In ancient times, slaves were branded as an obvious sign of ownership. And that was particularly true if a slave ran away. Then when he came back, he was marked in some manner so that they would know who he was, assuming that he would try to run away again. Soldiers, just like tattooing today is popular among soldiers, and it used to be pretty much just soldiers, military people, okay? And now we know that it's moved into the general population. But soldiers in ancient times showed their sign of allegiance to their country or their superiors. Religious devotees were branded, not always, but often. long before the Apostle Paul, Herodotus, that sounds better. Herodotus tells about Hercules' temple on the coast of Egypt, how that if a servant or a slave escaped to the temple, then he was branded as the temple's possession. And he became religious because he wanted to be there rather than with his owner. Criminals, persons of danger, were often tattooed, marked in some manner, okay? Marked in some manner, branded, so they were known as a dangerous person. And I think it was to that I had mentioned that if an individual was known as a pedophile, and this was clearly established, I think if there was some kind of a visible mark, it would do a lot of protecting. But I'm not going to go there. I've probably already upset some. And anyway, let's move along. The fifth manner of branding is similar to these others, and yet it has its own distinction, and that is it was a mark of insult. It was used as a means of anti-Semitism by Philopater, who was a Greek influence in Egypt. And of course, Hitler used the yellow star to mark the Jews in his day. And in Hitler's concentration camps, the Nazi camps, they were all tattooed in the arm. And if you've watched any kind of documentaries regarding the Holocaust, you may have seen that. Now, which one of these five classes did Paul bear? All five of them. A slave, he was his ownership. He considered himself a bond slave of Jesus, a bond servant. And then as a soldier, his allegiance was to his captain. He was in a religious devoted category, and he was sealed by God in his consecration. And then as a criminal, he had beatings many times as a prisoner, and he was insulted, and he was hated as a prophet of this new sect called Christians. And so he bore all five marks, and we've called them brandings. Now, what were the marks? And there can be no doubt about the answer to that. The marks that Paul bore were the scars and the searing, and probably, one writer said, long continuing sores because of, you know, when he was beaten, left for dead on one occasion, you know, he didn't, when he got up, he didn't go to the local medical clinic. I mean, he wasn't even able to go to a clinic like missionaries run in third world countries. And so people did what they could do to deal with his beatings, but the lack of sanitary conditions, I think it's reasonable to think that he is very possible, or let me say very probable, that he had continuing sores that were identifying him. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 22. Now, these are familiar verses to those who read in the New Testament and read about Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Where Paul says, are they Hebrews, referring to his opposers and the Judaizers who want to give him trouble? And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. In other words, these accusers were trying to make themselves look better than Paul. And so Paul comes back on the three major categories, and he says, they have nothing on me, so am I. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? And he says, I speak as a fool, I am more. He identified himself as being more of a servant of Christ, more than these others, who they claimed also to be following Jesus. And these were the ones who wanted to require Gentiles, when they got saved, to become circumcised, because they were trying to combine the requirements of the Mosaic law with their conversion. And so they identified themselves as Christians, and Paul says, I am more. And here's why he says he is more of a servant of Christ than they were. In labors more abundant. He worked much more about being a Christian and preaching than they did. In stripes above measure. That's beatings, stripes. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Meaning that he was beaten, he was persecuted, thought to be dead more often than what they were. And then he goes on and details that some of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Remember, they only did 39 because they'd have been in big trouble if they had given more than 40 stripes, unless somebody miscounted. Their practice was just to do 39. So if they missed one, now they were still within the limits. Thrice was I beaten with rods. There's times where he was beaten with whips. Common. Remember the Roman, when they did beatings, the end of their whip had, I don't know how many, 5, 6 leather strands coming out. And they would; those were wide enough that they could embed sharp pieces of bone or any other kind of sharp object, stones, metal. They could sew it around. That extra leather could be brought up, sewn around it. Now when they were beating, it was not just the lash of the leather whip, but it was these five fingers that had the sharp object in. And so when it, and when they would whip, and this I first read of regarding Jesus, when they whipped, they would whip in such a manner that the person being whipped, it would come around to the front, and so he was whipping, and it was throwing around to the front. Now you got these five fingers of sharp objects. It was grabbing in, and then they pull out. And that's why frequently somebody who was beaten in that manner, their insides fell out, because they were so. 39 times. And I don't think the Romans had a limit. Okay? And so they would beat, and just over and over and over again. We can't imagine that Paul had sores that never fully healed. You've had them already. They build up, gross, but they get pus in them. You squeeze it. You may poke it with a needle or something to let that come out. Now today we have, you know, even just isopropyl, rubbing alcohol. You can even put that on. Of course, you got Neosporin, triple ointment. You know, you got different things we can put on, and that helped. They didn't have that. Now, I don't know what they did do, because they had what we would today refer to as natural means. And I have no doubt that people were treating him. But the extent of his injuries, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Rods, that's just that. I don't know how big around. Again, you can read and get different opinions, but it was like a broom handle, okay? We're talking about like a broom handle. He was beaten with rods. That's different than a whip. I was stoned. These were not number two gravel like you put in a parking lot. The stones were at least fist size. More, if my understanding's right, more of this approximate size. He was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, three different times shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Spent a whole full 24 hours floating on a piece of debris. In journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. He met danger in just about every place he was. He was marked for Christ. I can imagine that prior to his death, after he had endured all of these things, he wasn't very attractive looking. In weariness and painfulness. You know that pain wearies you. You know that. You understand it. But in painfulness, in weariness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in hunger. Now you notice he makes a distinction between the hunger and thirst, and fastings. In other words, when he had food restricted from him, he didn't have to eat. You know, that's different than fasting, when you voluntarily give up the food. In cold and nakedness, Oh boy, I often think of that when we come to our winter weather and have the cold and the snow. I mean cold like, you know, 10 degrees and such. And I put my boots on to go out and shovel. And I think about people that live in cold country, in concentration camps, in labor camps, and they don't have proper footwear, if they have any footwear. And I walk out, my toes begin to get a little chilled, and I think of these people who don't have any footwear. We're blessed. We're blessed. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You see, there was that internal burden for the people he had led to Christ, for the churches that were established in different cities. We know in the whole region of Galatia there were several. Then you have Ephesians, you have in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Colossae, okay? So we know that there were many churches, and Paul said this is a burden. And he lists all of that physical suffering with this emotional, mental, internal suffering. This was Paul. These were his marks. Oh my goodness. We are blessed, and it, I even hesitate to say that because it's so easy for us to say it, and yet how much, God forgive me, how much do we grumble about the inconveniences of our day? Now I realize there are many Christians who are going through serious physical problems. They're going through serious emotional problems, struggle within families, financial situations. All of these are real, and please, I'm not minimizing them in any sense. But we've just seen a description of what Paul went through. Now listen, don't you let the devil camp in your doorstep and get you beaten up on yourself because your experience hasn't been what Paul's experience is. That was Paul's experience, not ours. When we, if we begin to beat up on ourselves and think that somehow we're less of a Christian and boy, get a downer going because of what we haven't suffered. What God wants us to do in our day is to live for Christ and be dedicated to Christ. That's what he wants from us. And yes, beat up on yourself when you fail to be dedicated. Yes, indeed, examine yourself. That's what Paul says to us. Examine ourselves. We need to do that. And when we're not doing what we could be doing and what we know we should be doing. But because judgment is not brought speedily, people continue. It's in Ecclesiastes. Let me go find that. Okay? Book of Ecclesiastes. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. When the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, when the Spirit of God talks to us about something in our life, we must talk to him about it. We must deal with that in our life. But so too many times. In verse 11, Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not, oh, well, it's not evil. I just don't do what I should. Yeah, see, that's one of the problems. We don't identify things for what they are. And when God convicts us about something and tells us we ought to be doing different, we ought to be thinking different, acting different, and we minimize it because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because God doesn't lower the boom as quickly as what we would think he would, we too many Christians think they can get away with it and just keep doing it, and they do. Their heart gets harder, their neck gets stiffer, and then when something bad comes into their life, when they begin to reap what they've sowed, well, I don't understand why God let this happen to me. The only thing I don't understand is why he doesn't let it happen sooner. But God is patient. Amen. Working, desiring to bring people. Okay, yeah, we must. I'm going to finish out the class. Get this Voice of the Martyrs magazine. I don't read it from cover to cover always. Very honestly, sometimes it's just too heavy for me. Depending on, you know, where I am, where I am in my life, I pray for them. But this is about North Korea, of course, with the much going on regarding North Korea. They take a focus. This ministry has covert operations going on to North Korea, to many countries, but to North Korea. And I want to read some here. Maybe you can't see it. There's a picture of a girl sitting at a microphone. The article says in a closet-sized room where she is reading, broadcasting. When Hannah was a child in North Korea, she spent nearly every night huddled next to the radio with her father. It was illegal. It is illegal to listen to the radio, but we did it in secret. Friends, I'm not reading these for the emotional value, but if our emotions don't get stirred, then we've got a hard heart. There was a time when this didn't exist in North Korea. There are countries that live in persecution now that there was a time it wasn't true of them.
Right.
Persia was once a center of Christian advancement. Now Iran, its current name, is one of the biggest persecutors of Christians. And listen, here's something you know. You have begun to hear anti-Christian sentiment, and specifically directed against those conservative Bible people. Didn't used to hear that. There was always people that believed that. But today, you're beginning to hear it. Joy Behar on the, what's that called, The Voice? Whatever that program is where four ladies sit and rip up anything and everything except themselves because tolerance doesn't go. Okay, anyway, Joy Behar, she's one of the most evil women that is living today. And listen, it's not impossible that the conditions like I'm reading about in North Korea would one day exist in this country. Oh no, there's too many Christians, there's too many churches. Do you know that in Russia, before their revolution, there were so many churches, so many Christians? Now, I understand it was the Orthodox Church, and how many of them were born again, I don't know. What I'm telling you is it ended. And when you stop and consider that, you will not find the United States of America in the Bible. When the end time events begin to unfold, the United States, I've heard it explained, will be a nothing nation. We will be but one of the isles of the sea, a term used to describe places of habitation that are inhabited beyond the Holy Land, which is the center of God's focus. It's important that we are doing what we must do. And I realize there are some people that will not stop and consider until they get their first beating. Anyway, let me go on here. So she said, even today, North Korean government attempts to jam outside signals and confiscate illegal radios. Those caught with one are arrested. Her father was cautious, warning the family to keep their radio a secret. They waited until after midnight when all the neighbors were asleep to listen to it. And Hannah says here that she wasn't as interested in the preaching, the sermons that were broadcast, as she was the music. and her father especially enjoyed listening to the sermons. As they listened and learned about the world outside, the family began to consider the risky option, leaving their home country. Hannah defected into China, from China to Thailand, from Thailand to South Korea. She began to attend a Christian church there. She learned about God, and she found faith in Christ. And she wanted something that would fulfill her. And that's when she learned about needing a speaker on the radio, because the North Korean dialect is so distinctly different from South Korean. And when that radio signal goes into North Korea, and people who do listen to it, they may be searching for some other kind of program, but they hear that North Korean dialect, and it gets their attention. A recent North Korean defector who is not a Christian told Voice of the Martyr staff he regularly listened to the radio broadcast in North Korea simply because he appreciated the announcer's soft voice. He even had the program schedule memorized. This picture here shows people sitting by candlelight, their faces blocked out, blackened, and that's where they're worshiping. That's where they're going to church. The best we could maybe understand that using our building is if we'd go downstairs in a room that has no windows, and we'd have to come here at night when no one else was around, nothing else was happening, and we'd sit down there and just have candlelight. How many would be there? Now, too many to fill the room. It would fill the room. Oh my, we're... And then here's an unlikely evangelist. I've got 3 minutes yet. Hyeongja drifted in and out of consciousness, her head bloodied by repeated blows from a club. You see, Paul suffered, but he was not the only one to suffer. We must be careful that we do not idolize the characters of the Bible. They were but men and women who lived for God. Were God writing the Bible today, there would be people of our generation that he would choose to use. You see, we look at Paul and listen, he was a man. He'll tell you that. He called himself the chief of sinners. I can't live for God the way I should. Yes, you can. The young Jock drifted in and out of consciousness, bloodied. Repeated blows from a club, she heard the guard shouting words she had never heard in her 56 years of life. She had never heard these words. Bible, God, Jesus. The biggest crime in North Korea is Christianity and Christians. Now, why is that? Oh, they're against thievery. They're against whatever they're against, okay? Biggest one that'll get you in trouble is if you're known as a Christian. All you have to do is have somebody that defected to the South that became a Christian, and you're going to get beat for it. You say, well, that's not fair. North Koreans don't work on the basis of fair. What the guard was trying to determine is if there was any Christian influence in her life. There was none. When they finally found and figured that out for certain, now she just had to work. And she came near to death because of the way they worked her. And then she defected. She got out of her labor camp. She saved up enough money. She paid it to one of the people who would enable her to get out, and she got out. And then when she was in South Korea, I don't have time to read it to you, but she she found Christians and she asked, what does Jesus mean? What does God mean? What is the Bible? Because the first place she heard it was an unlikely source. It was a female guard who beat her near to death. Our God is a mighty God. And even in her persecution, he was beginning to work to reveal himself. It's a little cold today. Boy, it's snowing quite a bit. You know, my car's not running the way it ought to run. So many things that can deter us. Boy, my stomach's a little upset today. Now, you know, again, we've got to remember where we're living now. If you have a stomach flu, it's a good idea to stay home so you don't infect everybody else. Okay? That's so true. And when we're like on Thursday night, we had that storm coming in. Pastor, I think rightly, canceled the Bible study because of what the traveling conditions were going to be. Very, very honestly, I wish I had picked something other than the weather to illustrate this, because there are times when these things do matter for us. What other things deter us, keep us from the house of God, and from living for the Lord at home, in our house? Oh, I know I probably shouldn't watch that movie, but boy, it's a great plot to it. And I love the action they have. Yeah, probably love the half-naked women too. But that we can't say, because we know that's wrong. Father in heaven, Paul gave us an example, and it's been carried out through the centuries since he lived and suffered and bore his marks. How I do pray, dear Father, for these believers in North Korea and other persecuted countries, they too are bearing marks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself, dear Father. Empower those who work with them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're interested in getting this little magazine, you see me and I'll give you the website so that you can contact them and and ask to be put on the mailing list. All right. Class is over.